If you have a Bible with you, I want to ask you to go to Luke 14. This is not a typical Christmas text, but I think you're going to understand, and we'll tie it in with the main theme of our drama. Our family, Faith and me, for the last 30 plus years, as long as we've been married, really, have had a tradition of a Christmas Eve meal, kind of a family meal together. It's not a traditional meal, mostly appetizers and like all of our favorite foods. Some of them come only out at Christmas time. We don't eat them any other time during the year, but just special things that we eat kind of very specifically on that meal on Christmas Eve. And we usually have candles and some fancy dishes. It's very festive. But the thing that I love most about it is that the family is together. And we might have invited others. Sometimes it's just our family. But, you know, the time together around the table is special for us. And actually, I asked Faith for a picture last night of this, and she gave me every year picture, just one. She just kept sending them. My phone kept dinging and dinging and dinging because we just have these pictures, you know, down over these years of our family, you know, kind of growing up at this time. I want to talk about the Christmas table. I'm a big fan of the family table. Some of you culturally didn't grow up eating a family meal at a table, but when I was growing up, our family table was the heart of our home. It's where you gather. It's where you eat and spend time together. Statistics say that Americans are spending less and less time at the dinner table. I think it used to be that about 90 minutes would be the meal at dinner time. That, even for me, that seems like a long time, but there was a time when that was the average for an American family. They'd spend 90 minutes together at the meal. Now it's more like 12 to 17 minutes on average, and the TV is on. It's interesting. It used to be the table, and that was sort of the family gathering. That's how you connected at night. And then it was the TV, and the family gathered around the TV, which is a big loss because you're not really paying attention to each other when you're watching TV, but you're still together. Actually, today, it's not even the TV. I mean, everybody's on their own device, not even in the same room. And even if you're in the same room, you're in totally, you know, different universes. But still, the table speaks of what the idea of the family should be. It's the heart of the home. And most people, even if they don't gather daily around a table, they still do on special occasions. So we talked about the Christmas table and Easter and Thanksgiving. Maybe there's another time that your family might have a family fiesta. And that time is, it's really special. You have these sentimental memories that's attached to it. So there's this cool, amazing story about a table in Luke 14. That's why we're there. Jesus is talking to a group of people at a dinner party on the Sabbath. And here's what he says. I want you to read it. If you have your Bible, I'd really like you to look through this. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read in verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. All right, everybody, get the story. This guy plans a big party, and he invites everybody, that is everybody, all of his friends, all of his neighbors, all of his coworkers, and he prepares for days, maybe even weeks. They get everything together, and now on the day, the feast is ready, the table is all set, and so he sends out his servants to go and invite everybody again that's already been given the invitation, come, the feast is ready. And the servants go out and, you know, they find one guy and he says, hey, listen, I bought a piece of property. I got to go check it out. I can't come. Please excuse me. And he goes to another guy and he says, man, I just bought I got 10 new oxen. I need a test run. And please excuse me. I can't come. And, you know, the other guy says, man, I just got married. My wife has not let me out of the house. I can't come. And everybody that he talked to, he said, you know, they can't come. They made excuses and they can't come. And so they come back to the master and say, nobody's coming. And he says to them, he says, I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges. I want you to go to the side roads and every place else. And I want you to invite all the people that we didn't invite originally. I want you to invite them to come. The primary teaching of this text, the primary meaning is this, that Jesus' gospel was going to be rejected by the Jewish people. All the ones that were supposed to be welcomed gladly to the feast, they weren't going to come. They had all kinds of excuses. But that wasn't the end of the story. The invitation was going to go out to the streets and the lanes and the highways and the hedges. The gospel of Jesus was going to be offered to the Gentiles. That's you and me. And that's the primary message, kind of this Jew and Gentile application. But within that application, there are a number of other lessons that I want to give you two of them. They'll connect, I think you'll see that, with our drama. Here's the first one. There is room at the table for you. A main message of the parable is that the table is open. And there is room for you, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your background, no matter your social status. And one of the main teaching points is where the invitations are going and where the people who are invited are going to be coming from. They're no longer, the ones that are going to show up at the banquet, they're no longer coming from the privileged. They're not coming from the people who are too busy or too important. They are coming. Those people rejected the invitation. They had too much going on. They were too busy. And so the invitation went out to the streets and the lanes of the cities, verse 21 said, and into the highways and the hedges, verse 23 said. It went, verse 21 says, it went to the poor and the broken and the blind. It went to those who were passed over. It went to those who had been excluded. It went to those who had been counted or not counted by someone else in this world. And what this tells us in loud, clear language is that it doesn't matter who you are. And I came here this morning to tell you that if you have been passed over, if you know what I'm talking about, to say that you have been excluded and not counted by some people in this world, I want to tell you this morning that God sees you. He values you. He loves you, and he knows you, and God has a plan for your life. Listen to me, my friend, may you hear it in a way this morning that you may have never heard it before. It doesn't matter who you are. The table is open for you. God's table, the one where he sits and he fellowships and he welcomes you as his children and as his friends. But hear me on this. You have to accept the invitation. There may be some humbling that has to happen. There might have to be some breaking of habits and maybe even some breaking of your will. But you have to come. You have to accept the invitation and you have to sit down. You might have to stop and slow down what you're doing. I think it's telling that the ones who made up the excuses, the ones who did not come to the feast, that refused the fellowship of the king, they had too much business going on. They had to go fix the property they just purchased. They were expanding their fortune in, you know, livestock and goods. They were so busy with relationships and other people. They just didn't have time to come and sit at the king's table. You might be saying this morning, man, Pastor Gary, you don't know where I've been. You don't know how I've failed God. I've had so many chances, but I have blown it over and over. And I would say to you, you mean like you've been in the highways and the hedges of life? You have walked down some of the streets and some of the lanes of the cities? It sounds to me that you are exactly the ones that God is calling. Hey, hear me out. We are all sinners who have fallen. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short. And we are moving closer every day to the day that we will die. I mean, you have never stopped getting closer to the day of your death from the moment that you were born. It has been one day after the next getting closer and closer to the end. And you're like, man, I'm trying to be healthy. I've been eating good, you know, kale and tofu. I've been, you know, putting that stuff down, and I diffuse essential oils. You know, I'm going to live longer. And I mean, that's all good. Everybody does their thing. I'm just saying that we're all heading towards that cliff of eternity. I mean, at some point, nobody misses that. And so when we stand before God to be judged for this life, it is in that moment, it is heaven or hell. This is what the Bible teaches. And what's the difference between the two? Well, it's not did you do more good than bad. A lot of people feel that way. I talk to people maybe every week. That's kind of their idea. Hey, when I get to the end of my life, heaven or hell, it's going to be based on whether I did more good than bad. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Listen, this is the Christmas story. That God sent his son into the world to provide forgiveness and life and hope. And that forgiveness and that life and that hope is available to anyone who will accept it. Listen, that is the table. That's the story of Luke chapter 14. That's the banquet. It is all prepared. It is spread out before you. And you are invited. But you have to come to the table. You have to accept the invitation. You have to humble yourself and come and join and sit down. There's this awesome text in Ephesians chapter 2. I can't wait to show this to you. Would you turn just real quick to Ephesians chapter 2? In verse 4, 5 and 6. Listen to this. It's going to connect to our table idea. Here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. And I love that. Our God is so abundantly generous with his wealth, and his wealth is in mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened, or he has made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And then verse 6, listen to this. And hath raised us up together, and here's the phrase, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the table. I mean, look at it. Right there. The gospel isn't about bad people becoming good. That's what verse 4 and 5 say. It's about dead people coming to life. That's the gospel. And when that happens, we are accepted at the table. We get our name on the table setting. You know how when you go to a fancy banquet, you walk in and, you know, they tell you go to table number, 14, and then you get to table number 14 and your name is on a, on a strip right there on your place. You have a place at the table. You know that you belong. And listen, this is what God does. Now, here's the thing. A lot of you here already have a seat at the table. And you've been, I'm talking about this, you've been praying for those around you, some that may not, that this is gripping right in their heart, and they're saying, I've not yet had my place at the table. But a lot of you, I think your story would be that I have a place at the table, and you're wondering, what's the message for me? Well, here you go, and it's super important. It's number 2. There is still room for more, but some may not ever know if you don't invite them. You know, once you're at the table, once you are in the family, you have the right and the opportunity, in fact, even the responsibility to extend the invitation to others. Listen, at Faith in My Home, my kids can invite anybody they want. They can come to our house for any meal that they want. They have the right. They're our children. Invite anybody. Come on. If you come over to our house, you can't invite anybody you want. I mean, well, actually you can. You know what? You really can. If you want to come to our house, bring everybody with you. It's fine at our house. But normally, I just want to tell you, normally you can't go to somebody else's house and then just invite anybody to come with you. I mean, if I were to go to my neighbor's house, he invited, me to come over, and I walk over and I bang on his door, and he comes to the door, and I got my whole gang with me. And I'm like, hey, I invited all these people. All these people from church, and I saw Jack down at the gas station, and I picked up Frank at the Kenyatta Market, and hey, we're all coming in. No, you can't do that. You can't invite a bunch of people to a table that you're actually not a part of it. But listen, if you are my children, you can invite anybody that you want. And in fact, I'd be telling you, hey, we got empty spaces. There's room at the table. Bring some with you. And if we run out of room, I love this, our table has leaves. Do you know what that is? Yeah, we got this table, and you push it together, and then you spread it apart, it's split down the middle, and you can put more leaves in it so that the table can grow. And if you invite somebody to our table, man, we want to add more leaves, and if we got to bring some more chairs, and in fact, if we run out of room with our table, we'll get another table. I had someone tell me yesterday at the Harvest House event, he said, Hey, you guys got a lot going on. I'm like, yeah, there is. There's a lot going on. He had just been to Festival of Lights the week before and kind of, just amazed by that. And then everything that amazing 800 some kids, I think, that had presence at Harvest House and families. And I mean, just an amazing thing over there. And he was right. He said, you guys got a lot going on. And, I left that time, and I came back yesterday afternoon. I was preparing in over here in my office, and I'm like, we want a lot more going on. The reason is that we want to add more leaves to the table. We want to pull up more seats. Man, you and I, those of us who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we fellowshiped around the table that God has laid for us. Man, we want to invite more people to come. We want them to hear about what it means to fellowship with the King of Kings. We want to create more space. We want to pull up more seats. We want the whole island to know how great it is to sit at the King's table. So listen, here's my question. Have you told anybody about the table? I mean, recently. You mean to tell me that we might sit and enjoy the feast and enjoy the fellowship with the Father and not tell anybody else that they're welcome to? And you're like, well, yeah, but they're going to reject me. I don't think they're going to listen. And we'll go find some others. If your friend says, hey, listen, I don't want to eat at that table, really, that is going to be between them and God, and we're going to continue to care, maybe invite them, but go to the high, this is the story, you guys, go to the highways and the byways, go find a different street and a different lane, find some people that are maybe broken and longing, and invite them to come with you to the table. Why would we feast together? I mean, I love this here in this place. This is beautiful for us worshiping together. But I want to tell you, why would we want to feast without inviting others to come along with us? This is the shepherd's story. This is what we just saw. I mean, the arrival of the baby Jesus on this earth, there in that stable, in that manger, it absolutely must call us. This is what they said here just a few minutes ago. It must call us out of our ordinary into action. At the end of the drama, we're going to kind of close up here, but at the end of the drama, right here, Clev and FJ and Mikey and Talents, here's what they said. It came at you fast, but it was powerful what they said. I want you to be reminded. They said this. So don't wait, don't pack, don't plan. Just go. Right? There is a world lost and hungry. There is a world lonely and wandering. And he has called us to go and tell them. Go and tell them what God is doing. Go and tell them that God is coming. Go and tell them that God is here. This is the Christmas message. And here's the questions this morning, two of them. Question number one is this. Have you personally accepted God's gracious invitation to join him at his table? Have you humbled yourself? Have you accepted the invitation and come to the table so that you could sit down? If not, right now is your opportunity to do that. And I believe that God is working in hearts this morning. We've been praying that maybe you would be here. And this message might have hit home to you for the first time in some ways. And I want to invite you to the table this morning. Question number two is this. Who are you inviting to join the table? We want everybody on Guam to know how great it is to experience the grace of our great God. We want everybody here to know the sweetness of the fellowship around that big spiritual table. So don't wait, don't pack, and don't plan. Just go. I'd like to ask if you'd bow your heads with me. We always close our service with a time of spiritual inventory, just in the privacy of the chair that you're in, asking you to evaluate between you and God what God has spoken to you about, what he's used his word through his spirit to speak to you about. I'd like to ask you to think about that. I asked a couple specific questions. Can I just bring them back to your mind? The first question is to believers. You're at the table. But I wonder if there's some that you know that you have an invitation that you have to give out and you have not. So as we close this morning, I'm guessing there are some that just need to bow their heads and their hearts before God and pray. Pray that you would stop holding this invitation to yourself. Pray that God would give you boldness and courage to invite some of your friends and family effectively to come and see what God has done. And here's the second question. I know, I just want to say that for some of you, there's something right now that is drawing your heart toward Jesus. You're like, well, what is that? This is the loving presence of God. That's what it is. And you're not here by accident. If you're feeling drawn this morning to God and to his table, I want you to pay very careful attention to that, because in the next minutes, you're going to have the opportunity to say yes to the greatest invitation of your life. So in these last moments, with everybody just with their heads bowed and in prayer, just in the transparency of this moment, would there be some that would say, Pastor Gary, that's me. I don't know that I've ever fully accepted God's invitation, but I sense him drawing me today. If that's you, can I invite you in the quietness of your heart, sincerely, just to call out to the Lord in prayer? You could say something like this. Dear Lord, I am sorry for all of my sin. Would you please save me from my sin? Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I place my faith in you alone. I can't save myself. Lord, please forgive me, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that in the closing of this service, through the ministry of the word and drama, through the teaching and preaching of the word, I pray that some would be drawn to you. I pray that you'd help this community of people to be bold in our invitations to the table. Help us not to become selfish like the lepers did. Help us to go and tell people that we found the bread and we know where it can be found. I pray that you'd help us this week, this Christmas season, to be bold in inviting others to join us at your table. And Father, I pray for some this morning that maybe even in this moment, they gave their heart to you. I pray that you would fulfill the promise that you've said that you'd forgive their sins, that you would make them a new creation, and that you would begin a process of renewing their life and setting them on a new path and a new course. So I pray for some this morning that this is the day of their spiritual birth. I pray that you'd confirm that in their hearts and then allow them the courage to step out and allow other people to walk beside them as guides and directors on their new spiritual path. So, Father, we thank you for the fact that you are always doing this work and that we can trust you. Help us this Christmas season as we continue to see Jesus, your Son, the one that you sent to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, to provide forgiveness and hope for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.